Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have had mercy on us poor sinners and have redeemed and saved us through the blood, through the death, and through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today, empower us by your Holy Spirit to hear your word, to gladly receive it, and to grow into it, that we may live it out in our lives every day. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So the meditation, the basis for our meditation comes from our devotion that you have, the People of the Passion, and the devotion this week is called Harder Than Stone. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Luke chapter 19. Now these opening words are powerful. Are you ready? Holy cow. Holy cow. I mean, when you hear the words from Ezekiel today and you hear that devotion, really, what is there to say? What is there to say but this magnificent God who says, you know what? Even if you, with hard hearts, fail to praise my name, I will cause the rocks to give me glory. In fact, the psalmist says that all creation gives God glory and praise because it knows of his redeeming work. Ezekiel really wanted us to know what he was talking about. Ezekiel was very, very adamant about what he was speaking about today. So adamant that God tells us three times in the text of Ezekiel that he was going to turn our very hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. That he would take our hearts of stone, turn them into flesh, and give us new hearts. Now, I've heard this said before from people who've served in the military. If your commanding officer says something once, you better listen. If he says something twice, you really better listen. Jesus says this today in our text three times. Three times Jesus says, God says in his word to us today in Ezekiel, I will take your stony hearts that are dead, that are hardened, that do not worship me, and I will make them alive. I will make them hearts of flesh. I will put a new spirit within you. Let us take a closer look at the text from Ezekiel today to see what he's really talking about. God says, first of all, because of my name, I'm going to change you. I'm going to save you. Now, this is really important. You know, we think about this all the time, and we think about the Ten Commandments. I want to go back to those for a second. When God gave the Ten Commandments, it was something like this that he was saying to his people. Because you are my children, and because you carry my name, Yahweh, upon you, this is how you have to live. This is what you need to look like, so that when people see you, they know that you belong to me. I can remember certain times in my childhood going to places and being told, now remember whose child you are, behave. Or something to that extent, right? Remember, you reflect on me. And I remember a couple times of not reflecting well, and well, anyways, my hide got tanned. But this is what God is saying to us in essence in the Ten Commandments. And what he's saying again in Ezekiel is this: because I have chosen you, because I have selected you, because I have handpicked you to be my people, my name is placed upon you. When people see you, they see me. When people think of you, they think of me. When you interact with people, they interact with me. And so because of that, I myself will save you. I am going to change you. What comfort in that? God doesn't say you have to change. God doesn't say you have to do better. God doesn't say you poor, miserable sinners are rotten, stinky people. Now get it straight or you're going to burn in hell. It depends on what church you're in, I guess. But God doesn't say that, does he? God says, I am going to change you because I love you and I placed my name upon you. I'm going to take the work upon myself. I'm going to redeem you. I am the one who's going to set you free. I'm the one who's going to make you new. You don't have to do it. I, the Lord, your God, who loves you more than you can think or imagine, will be the one to save you and change you. The work is not dependent upon you, lest you can boast, for it is by grace you are saved through faith. God says, I will gather my people. I will gather my people. I will bring them all together. And this reminds us of the Missio Dei. And do you remember Missio Dei is the fancy Latin term I like to use so that I can sound intelligent and earn my pay here. So Missio Dei means mission of God. What is God's mission? That all people come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus and be saved. God says in our text for today, this is my mission. It's plain and simple. I'm going to reach every person. No one will be left out. Now you may say, wait a minute, Pastor, there are people who don't believe out there. But remember what John 3:16 and beyond says. Jesus came to die for the whole world so that the whole world would be saved in him, right? So that no one would perish. 3:17 says that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world from him. So twice again, God is saying, I'm going to save everyone. I'm going to bring my people together. I'm going to gather them from the ends of the earth so that they will be saved. John 3:18 says this, he who stands condemned already stands condemned because he has refused to believe in God's one and only Son. We don't have the power to accept God. He accepts us. We don't have the power to believe in God. He believes in us. But because of our sinfulness, we do have the power to reject God. But God says, I'm going to work and work and work until every knee will bow and tongue confess me as Lord and Savior. God says in our text for today, I will sprinkle you with clean water. And that's pretty powerful, right? He says, I'm going to sprinkle you with clean water. He says, I'm going to cleanse you from your impurities. And he says, I'm going to put a new spirit within you. Cleanse you, sprinkle you, and put a spirit in you. Now, good Lutherans, what do you think that is referring to? Oh, that didn't sound very confident. Don't make me have to teach confirmation class again. Let's try that again. Good Lutherans, what does this sound like to you? Baptism. Even in Ezekiel, a foreshadowing of this wonderful sacrament in which God will save his people is being brought forth from the text. God completes this work. He starts this work, completes this work, fulfills this work as he sprinkles you with water and cleanses you from your sins. As he wipes away every one of your impurities. As he says, your sins are removed as far as the east and the west. Your past, your present, and the future are totally gone in me. I will remember your sins no more, and you will be saved and live with me in heaven. And then he says, and by the way, in this sacrament, if we're not done, I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. Because remember what I said, I'm going to choose you to believe in me. I'm choosing you, and I will change you. The only way that can happen is not by our work, but by the work of the Holy Spirit in the process of what we call sanctification. You guys are doing really well today. Good job, good job, good job. In the process of what we call sanctification, the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit working in our lives every day, sometimes in hardship and trouble, sometimes in joy and praise, to bring us more closer to God and to make us more like Jesus. Because remember, the more we become like Jesus, the more we are the Missio Dei, the mission of God, reaching people with Jesus so that they may bow and confess him as Lord and Savior. All this God says he will do so that we will have a new heart. So that we will have a new heart. That's what God truly wants from us. In Hosea 6:6, God says, I don't desire sacrifice or burnt offering. I desire chesed. That's the Hebrew word that means mercy, but more than mercy. It means I desire your very heart, your life, your compassion, your faith, everything about you. God simply wants surrender. So often in this world today, we mess that up. We think, I have to live a perfect life. Ooh, I messed up and did that sin. And shame and guilt work their wondrous things in our lives. But simply, this is what God says. I have given you a new heart, and I just want it. I want you to live with it. I want you to rejoice with it and pray with it and worship with it. I want you to mess up with it. Because you know why? When you mess up, it'll lead you back to me, and you will be forgiven as you already are. When you mess up with that heart, it's going to remind you that you've got a big Savior in heaven who's already died for you and risen for you so that you will be with me forever. You see, that is the joy of having a new heart. God says he will give us a new heart, a heart of praise, a heart that shouts hosannas, a heart that finds good at all times. I don't know about you, but I'm not good at that. Sometimes when things aren't well, it's easy to be depressed. It's easy to see the bad things. It's easy to point out the bad things. And it's easy to find the wrong in people. But that's not what God says. A good heart finds good in all things. A heart that will only have pure and good intentions and peace for others. A heart that forgives and loves. A heart that seeks out his will and purpose. A heart that humbles itself so that his glory may shine in our lives. Do you know what that really means? A heart that humbles itself? A heart that says, okay, for the good of the other person, I give up my wants, my desires, my life, so that they may know the glory and peace of Jesus. It's part of surrender. He says, I will give you a new heart. One that loves above everything else. Brothers and sisters, I cannot get this message across to you. There will be times in this world people are going to hurt us. There will be people we don't like, and that's okay. We all have them. There will be times where we have our little arguments and our whatever in our lives with our family and our friends. But most of all, the heart that God plants into us is a heart of love. One that desires nothing but kindness and goodness and forgiveness and joy for everyone, even those who have wounded us, even those who have wronged us. Because that's what God does for us, even though we have hurt him and wounded him bitterly. His overwhelming love and forgiveness falls into our lives to redeem and save us. And here's the kicker. This Lenten season, God reminds us that if we fail in our sinfulness to surrender our hearts to him, he will find other ways to make his glory known to the world, even making the very rocks under our feet cry out his name. In the name of Jesus, amen.